Tomorrow, we celebrate the freedom of this great country, the United States of America. I want every person in the building that has served in the United States military, either have served or are now serving, I want you to stand, please. Thank you. Y'all keep standing. I also stand with my brothers and my sisters. Because look around. Every one of us stood and took an oath before that flag. We signed a blank check payable to the United States of America up until our lives, so that this nation could remain free. That all started way back in the 1700s, and it's still alive today. Would everybody else please stand? I want you to get your attention to that flag. I want us to pledge our allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. Y'all know Pastor bleeds red, white, and blue. Yeah. In 1917, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson said, "This flag, which we honor and under which we serve, is the emblem of our unity, our power, our thought, our purpose as a nation. It has no other character than that which we give it from generation to generation. The choice is yours." The American flag is not a symbol of perfection. Rather, the American flag is a symbol of freedom. America has been on the freedom of the journey for all of these years. Yet today, we as the citizens of the United States are still on that journey to make sure that we're one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Independence Day is a day we celebrate freedom. The first thing we should do is celebrate this freedom by giving thanks to God, remembering the price that was paid for this freedom. Many of the people that were standing have been under fire. I thank God that I was only under harassing fire. They just fired over where we were to harass us because of what we were doing. That's all I can say. We'll get together with friends and family. We'll have barbecue and picnics, enjoy fireworks, sing patriotic songs. God bless America, America the beautiful. But all of this goes back to the reason this country was originally established, for religious freedom for all. We have both spiritual freedom and natural freedom. And there are spiritual actions and natural actions that are necessary to maintain that freedom. Spiritually, we need to be concerned about God's blessing upon our nation. Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his inheritance." I believe one of the reasons that this nation has been so blessed is because we have honored God more than any other nation. I think that the blessings is upon us because of God. When people first came to this continent, the North America continent, they came in search of religious freedom. Today, it seems that our nation is in a spiritual crisis. Many have laid down their God-given right to call upon God and ask his blessing. I feel like we're at a critical time in our nation where many of our freedoms that we have enjoyed are being challenged. You know, like I said, that flag represents freedom. Yes, we have a lot of imperfections. Yes, we're not like we should be as a nation. But as I look around this audience and the one that's watching, we're sitting here all together from all different backgrounds, all different nationalities, and yet we sit here together in freedom naturally and in freedom spiritually because of the blood that has been spilled. Hello. I believe God's blessings will remain upon us if we will humble ourselves and pray like the Word of God tells us to do. The church must rally with prayer. As we celebrate this weekend, our one big concern should be that all of our freedoms, naturally and spiritually, remain intact. President Ronald Reagan said this, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." This is a day that we recognize the founding of this nation. If you will study those men that founded this nation and signed their name, they, many, many of them gave their lives so that we could sit here today. And today we sit in this auditorium free to worship God as we please because the blood of many Americans has stained the ground on many battlefields. Thomas Campbell said, "The patriot's blood is the seed of the freedom tree." It's obvious as we look around, our nation has problems. But with the love of God and the blood of Jesus, we can fix those problems. You know, the righteous must be at the forefront. Righteousness must be at the forefront. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness is our greatest asset. Although we need military strength, we need strong economy, we need to develop more of our resources, and we need to develop technology and education. All of these are great and all of these are needed, but without God, what good are they? Righteous living will determine your destiny and our nation's destiny. Look at Israel. When they were really living righteously before God, everything went great. When they weren't, everything went bad. They went into captivity many times because they quit being righteous before God. If we look into history, the contributing factor of the downfall of empire after empire has been the people that they turned from God. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire. Actually, you can see the destruction of the Roman Empire as Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 1. They refused to glorify God. They chose idolatry over worship to God. They practiced many forms of immorality. They became violent, deceitful, proud. History proves that neither nations nor individuals can sin and win. Today, let us determine in our own lives to live righteously so God can use us in a great way in these last days that we're living in. I believe as I read the Word of God and have studied end times, I don't preach about it a lot, but I've studied it, and I see happening in our world today the things that the Word of God said would happen in the last days. I believe we as a church need to band together and pray, because it's only our prayers and our belief in God that will keep us safe in this hour. You know, as we begin to look at this, and we talk about freedom, Moses came to deliver free Israel, give them freedom from slavery. Gideon was raised up so that the Israelites could be free from their enemies. And we all know the story of David. He fought valiantly against all the enemies of Israel, including the giant. When the people were in captivity, the Israelites, they longed to return to their homeland. When Jesus came, the Jewish people longed to be free from the Roman rule. Look at what Jesus said about himself in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Christ has come to set people free from the rule of Satan. Christ shed his blood on Calvary's hill so that those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ could be free and have liberty. In fact, Paul says in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Now drop down to that 13th verse. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use the liberty as an opportunity for your flesh, but through love serve one another." Freedom is something that we get from God spiritually. Freedom naturally is something we get because many of us were willing to serve. Freedom doesn't mean the absence of rules. Actually, without rules, there is no freedom. Real freedom has boundaries in every area. Real freedom is not something that is just man-made. It's something that God devised. As he reaches down from heaven to deliver mankind from the tyranny of Satan, just as the blood of many Americans was spilled so that we could live in freedom and not under the tyranny of communism, Nazism, and all the rest of them, Jesus shed his blood once and for all for everyone that would accept him as their personal Savior. They would be free. In fact, we live in a free nation, but there's not really any real freedom until you're free spiritually and naturally. John 8:36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Of course, there's a price to pay for freedom. We say it all the time. Freedom is not free. We know the cost of our freedom and what that flag stands for. But we also know the cost of what that flag stands for, the Christian flag, so that we could live free in both areas of life. If you really study Martin Luther King, when he made that statement, free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last, he just wasn't talking about natural. He was talking about both freedoms. If you'll study his life and study his messages that he preached, that's what he meant when he stood on those steps and said, free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last. He was talking about real freedom, natural freedom that we have, and spiritual freedom. The purpose, actually, as we obey the word of God, you'll find greater freedom. Psalms 119:45 says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. James 1:25. But those who look into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in me and my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word of God will bring knowledge to you for freedom in both areas of life. Freedom in the natural and freedom from sin in the spiritual. The Word of God contains instructions for us to be able to live in freedom, but in both areas. It gives us the parameters, and like I said, freedom has parameters, it has boundaries. As you walk in the boundaries of the Word of God, you will maintain your natural freedom and your spiritual freedom at the same time. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many of you have the Spirit of the Lord? It says here, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you have freedom on the inside, you're really free. Until you have freedom on the inside, you're not really free. The Holy Spirit knows how to keep you in freedom if you'll follow him. You know, let us purpose in our heart to enjoy our freedom, first spiritually and second naturally, because you're not really free until you're living free in both areas. Mike Huckabee said this, let us remember, as people of faith, that our primary mission is not to have a political ideology. It's to change the world so that every man, woman, boy, and girl can experience true freedom. Today, this is a great time. If you've never committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great time to do that and enjoy the freedom of that. But this is a great time for the rest of us to commit ourselves once again to God, to walk before him righteously, and to stand for freedom in both arenas as God gives us our strength. You know, I've simply just said some things to you today. You know, Pastor likes to, on special days, I have always believed this, that it's great to bring it together. And what I've been speaking about today goes right along with one of my favorite sayings. The natural and the supernatural working or coming together make the explosive force for God. And that's exactly what I've been talking about this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that you've given us to say today. May each individual take these words seriously and began to understand real freedom. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this congregation today and you've never experienced the real freedom of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, are you in this place today and you know what it is to serve God, but you have just sort of wandered away and you need to rededicate your life to God today? Or maybe you're in this place and you say, I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. Could care less about that. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. But I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So would you just simply raise one hand so that I can recognize you and pray with you? Anybody upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room? There's a hand over here. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that. Anybody else? Anyone else? Anywhere in the room? Everybody stand, please. I know I saw one hand. There may have been more. I'm going right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here because I want to shake hands with you and I want to pray with you like I said I would. So come on right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Come on now. Come on now. You raise your hand back there. Come on. Come on, buddy, right here. Bless you, man. Bless you, buddy. Your face is familiar. That's what I thought. Bless you, buddy. All right. All right. Bless you, man. That's what I thought.
Spot with
okay.
The precious blood of
come on, buddy.
Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the
yes, sir,
altar.
Man. God bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come and join these? This is your opportunity to find real freedom. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. You that are standing here, look my direction. I got three little books in my hand. One of them says New Birth. One of them says In Him, telling me who you are in Christ. One of them tells you about the Holy Spirit, why tongues. If I said I was going to give these to you and I put them out here like this, what do you got to do to get them? Somebody show me. You got them. They're yours. Hey, y'all all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just an exercise I do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the gift that you came down here for today. So I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one it is, just one of them. You in the congregation, reach your hands out as I pray for them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, infilling of the Holy Spirit, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, guys, put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want you to go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually in depth. Make sure you get what you came for and y'all get them books. Would you see Greg right there? Would you just pray and follow him to that place? There's people there waiting to minister to you. So would you just go with him right now? Just go that way. She needs to get her purse. Oh, her friend's going to watch it. Okay, good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it's all about right there. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.